Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. Good morning. Welcome to Investing Simplified. This is our Halloween version. And to just give you a little taste of Halloween, this is I Heard It Through the Grapevine. I mean through the graveyard. So if you go on YouTube, you can hear that song, and there's some really great videos with it. And it'd be great to show your kids or your grandkids. Well, this is Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor firm, and we're here every Saturday morning to answer your questions. And also online with me is Carl Jepson, attorney at law. Carl, are you there?
Yes, sir. Hello, Chuck. How are you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm hanging in there for old coot, you know.
Okay. Well, you know, listen, speaking about that, we got two old coots here, and the young guy took the weekend off. How's that work?
I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're here to answer your questions. Listen, folks, you don't want to just hear us talk for an hour. You want to pick up the phone, give us a call, ask us a question. There is no foolish question when it comes to your estate plan. There is no foolish question when it comes to your investing. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll-free 877-733-1011. And Carl and I are here to answer your questions. I'm going to start off by talking about the market and some things that you need to be aware of, because I don't really think what's happening right now in the stock market is that big dip down. I think it's called the October blues. And we've had them, for those of you that follow the market, know that historically October has been a terrible, terrible month. And, you know, 2007, the crash of 2007. Everybody realizes that October has been a really, really bad month. And I think that's what this is. I don't think it's the beginning of a big crash, although I've been saying for some time, I still think at some point in time, we're going to have to face all of our national debt. And, you know, I've been talking about it for years on the radio, but eventually, if you run up debt, somebody has to pay for it. Either you'll pay for it, your kids will pay for it, your grandkids will pay for it. But national debt is something that we're all liable for, and we're all going to have to pay for. So that's something we want to think about. And, you know, when the government needs to cut expenses, they really do, because they can't continue to spend way more than they have. Right now, I figured out the national debt. There's a national debt clock. If you've never looked at it, go look at it. Don't watch it too long because it'll drive you crazy. But take a good look at it, because it's something you want to see. Right now, the national debt as of 10/26 at 3:03 p.m. was $21,673,000,000. So, folks, that's a lot of money. And the thing you want to realize is the previous administration doubled the national debt more than had done by all the previous presidents combined. And we're still running that debt up. at some point, somebody's got to say, enough is enough. And I get so tired of hearing the politicians, particularly the Democrats right now, yelling about the debt that we're running up. But when they doubled the debt, they had no comment. The thing is, they need, both parties need to sit down and take a good look at the budget and say, enough is enough. Let's start taking care of America and Americans, and let's start get this debt thing resolved. Because I'll tell you what, it's not going to go away. It's kind of like the guy who doesn't make any payments on his credit cards, and he thinks, well, something's going to happen. I don't know, like win the lottery or something, I guess. But something's going to happen, and it never happens. And then he ends up in bankruptcy court. That's where we're heading. We're heading to a major, major problem in America, and it's called debt. And fortunately, all of us citizens out there have reduced our debt, and most Americans have started to try to live within their means. We just need the federal government to live within their means. I gotta give you a couple of things here that I think a lot of people talking about market volatility, and we've had a little bit of a swing here, about 7.5% in the swing in the market. But I kind of want to give you a couple of notes back to history. And by the way, I have three free books. If you stop by my office, no obligation. You don't have to set an appointment with us. The only thing I ask is if you get the free book, read it. After you've read it, pass it to somebody else, because I'll tell you why. Knowledge is power, and if you get something out of it, give it to somebody else, share it to somebody else, and let them read it and get some knowledge. I had a guy in the other day. They've read both my books. They were ready to do some planning, retirement planning, and so we did. But I gave them the books. I had no obligation. There was no obligation for them to come back and see me. If it made sense to them, they did. If they didn't, then they didn't. But I've got three books that I have a lot of in my office right now. One of them is called Peace of Mind Planning. I write a foreword, but it's written actually by Rocky DeFrancisco, who's a former attorney, Carl. He's still an attorney, but he's not practicing law. He works for a lot of financial planners and registered investment advisors like myself. Anyway, he had a very interesting thing. I'm going to take a couple things here out of his chapter. One of his chapters, he talks about the average investor, how the fact is that the average investor ends up losing money. He said, let's look at some statistics. From 2000-2002 crash, the S&P stock index lost the highest point to the lowest point was 46% of value. Folks, that's like waking up one day, having your $1 million, and now you only have $500,000. That's not a good thing. 2007-2009, the S&P 500 index lost from the highest point in October of 07 to the lowest point March of 09, 59%. Now go back to that $1 million, it's only worth $400,000. Not a good thing. This is why you need to read these books. You need to have a strategy for market volatility, because I'll tell you what, we're having a lot of market volatility right now. The market is really jumping up and down, but, you know, we've been having market volatility, way more market volatility since the turn of the century. And as I've talked on here a lot, is, in my opinion, we became totally a world economy, not an American economy, about the time the century turned. And historically, our market was a very, we had volatility, but not the volatility that the rest of the world had. Now we've kind of joined that group because really we're more of a world economy than an American economy. And so right now, for the first time that I can remember this year, the S&P is negative and the Dow Jones is negative year to date. The S&P closed on 10/26 Friday at 2,658.69, and it closed at 2,673.61 on 12/29/17. So we're actually down by 0.6% on the S&P. And on the Dow Jones, is not quite as bad either. It closed at 24,688.31. So we're down a whopping 0.3%. So really not a lot, but the fact is it is down. And if you remember when we started the year, it started out, we were up 8, 9%. We were rolling up there. So we've had a little bit of a backslide. Let's kind of take a look at some history, though. If you go back and look at the close of this Friday at 10/26 of 2,658.69 for the S&P, if we go back to 10/7/07, right before the crash, you would have made, if you invested the day before the crash, rode the crash out, rode through it, and today, you would have made 6.32% on your money. However, if you had been in the market on 12/31/99, left your money in the market, in the S&P, right before the tech crash in March of 2000, for those 17 years and 10 months, you'd be up 4.54%. Folks, that is a very historically low, low number. If you take a look at the NASDAQ, which is the tech market, and remember, the tech bubble popped in March of 2000 and never recovered until 2015. The tech bubble for 17 years and 10 months is up 4.27%. And I'm going to quickly go to the, because my time's running out here on my first segment. But on the Dow Jones closed at 24,688.31. If you go back to 10/7, the Dow Jones for those 11 years are up 6.72%. If you go back to 12/31/99, it's up 6.43%. The interesting thing is the big sluggish Dow Jones stocks are outperforming the high tech stocks. That's kind of worrisome because really you want your higher tech accounts to go higher than your more conservative investments. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, the first decade of the new century, bonds in a lot of cases outperformed equities. Think about that. Now, I got to tell you, if you want those free books, all you got to do, call my office, swing by, pick up a copy. There's no obligation. You don't have to bring them back. You can keep them. You can, hopefully, you'll read them and pass them on to somebody else because I truly believe knowledge is power. And with that, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with Carl's comments. But in the meantime,
Chuck, I wanted to give our folks a tease on the comments because sometimes it's difficult for me to introduce them. But I'm going to talk about three of the most controversial and difficult issues in estate planning.
Okay, and with that, we're going to be right back with Carl's comments on this Halloween weekend.
He did the mash. It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Well, thank you very much. This is Carl Jepsen, and I'm working at home today, mostly because I'm attending my grandson. So if you hear him running in the background, that's the noise that's going on. Either that or my Labrador Retriever chasing him around. So anyway, I want to talk about three specific areas in estate planning, but also just basically growing older, but it's mainly estate planning, that can be the most controversial, and a lot of times we just don't deal with them very well until it becomes a crisis. And number one is driving privileges. And I can hear the groans now. You know, and when should you ask your parents' doctor to take away your parents' driving, you know, privileges? And my answer is never. Never do that. You can help it. I mean, you know, unless they're driving through the back of the garage and going another block, don't do it, because they are going to be mad. They are going to be really, really mad. First of all, seniors believe they can drive better than they can. Probably me too, I guess. Seniors generally drive slower and have slower accidents. That's an important thing. Seniors don't drive that much, so they have less exposure. Seniors drive big, safe cars, or in my case, a big, safe truck. And they are very, very sensitive about their driving. And so I suggest, you know, unless it's just amazingly bad, let the doctor decide. Don't even mention it to the doctor, because if your senior, your father or mother gets it in his mind that you took away his driving privileges, it really is causes family dissension forever and ever and ever. And, you know, remember, even if mom and dad are not competent enough to drive, they may still be competent enough to do a new will or revise an old will. And just remember, it's not your money. So number two is, when do you try to force or, you know, get your parents to move into a long-term care facility? Again, my answer is never, if you can help it, unless they want to. I suggest you always use persuasion as much as you possibly can, because actually forcing a parent to do that is very, very difficult. As a practical matter, unless they're really, really badly impaired, and unless they're really, really tractable, in other words, if you drove them over to the care facility and dropped them off, and they had a locked door, and they, you know, they couldn't even, you know, find their way to the door kind of thing, and they wouldn't really complain about it because they wouldn't know how. They couldn't, you know, do a lot of things. Well, that's one thing. But if they can become volatile, if they can become angry, if they're still, you know, with it to some degree, you've got a situation where you're probably going to have to get a guardianship and or a conservatorship even to make an attempt at getting that parent, the one who's really resistant, at doing that. And so we'll kind of try to catch up with that in a minute, but I understand we have some callers on the line.
Yeah, Kathy's got a question. Hello, Kathy.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, hi.
I have a question about beneficiaries of an estate. This is for my aunt's estate, and there are six beneficiaries, and two of them have insurance that is tied to their low incomes. I think it might have something to do with Medicaid or Obamacare, and the beneficiaries are going to have the responsibility to pay the taxes on their inheritances, and they are wondering what's going to happen to their insurance. Now, one of them is underage, and a trust is going to be receiving their inheritance, and the other one is of age. And both of them are on this Washington State Apple Health Insurance, which is tied to their low income. Are they going to lose their insurance?
Well, we've got Carl Jepsen back on the line. We got a little disconnect there for Carl.
if you could give me the Reader's Digest version, that would be helpful for me. I just caught the last two.
There are six beneficiaries to an estate, and the beneficiaries are going to be paying the taxes on their inheritance.
Okay. It's going to be a taxable estate then in both states?
No, they're going to pay the tax on what they receive.
Okay.
Instead of the estate paying the taxes for on the 1041.
Okay.
Let me ask you this though: is the estate over $1 million?
No.
Okay. Okay. That works for me. Okay. So I got it now. So far.
Okay, but they are wondering, there are two of the six beneficiaries that are receiving a health insurance that is tied to their low incomes. Mm-hmm. And they have they are fearful that they will lose that insurance when they receive their inheritance. One of them is in a trust because they're underage.
Well, either way, the kids are underage, and I assume that they're getting money that's on this plan because it's essentially they're getting on Oregon, we have the Oregon Health Plan, so they're getting, you know, that's kind of part of Medicaid and that sort of thing. So yeah. they're getting government benefits, and if they get extra money, then the likelihood is, or the good possibility is, that they would be disqualified from those benefits. That's true. And it kind of varies depending on which program it is. But one thing, you know, so just putting it in a trust might not necessarily do that. You could do what's called, in many instances, doesn't always work, I suppose, but in almost all instances, you can do what's called an income cap trust, which might get them, you know, there. Or sometimes there's one that's just called a supplemental needs trust, which basically allows the trustee to apply money for the benefit of the beneficiary, but not for things that they could otherwise get from their government benefits. And it gets a little tricky at that point, but nonetheless, it can be done. It will be better to do it much sooner than later. A lot of people put a form of a supplemental needs trust or special needs trust in their existing estate plan so that, you know, they have an easier time of establishing that when the decedent dies.
Well, the income cap trust or a supplemental what trust?
Supplemental needs trust. An income cap trust basically allows, there's a limit on a number of governmental benefits. So it's around, I'm trying to think about, I forget it now, it's probably about $2,200 per month. And if you have income that exceeds that, then you don't qualify for these benefits or get disqualified if you get income. And that one's relatively easy to deal with. You can do it, what's called an income cap trust, and they just work it out so that the money basically goes into one place, goes into the trust, and it flows through, and then they basically just can't turn around and direct the money somewhere else. But the supplemental needs trust just allows the trustee to use the money only for those purposes that will not disqualify their benefits. So that's kind of the way.
Okay, so that there is one, that's the one underage person that is going to have to be put, the monies have to be put into a trust for that person. And then the other one who is also getting that low-income insurance, the part of Medicaid or Obamacare, it is of age. So
either way, I mean, if the child is underage, they're 18 or not 18, then anything that they get is going to have to go into some kind of a holding facility, you know, if it's a long-term thing.
And there's one of those, but there's another 20-year-old that is of age, and she is a beneficiary as well.
Yeah, so getting a lump sum or something like that would almost undoubtedly disqualify them from some of them or all of their benefits. So you need to have somebody, if there's an existing estate plan, they could add that to it if it's not already part of it, and they could basically have a form of supplemental needs trust, I would think, that will work to make sure that they can, you know, have the money, but not...
But wait a minute, our aunt is already dead.
Okay, so the money's already there and kind of waiting to be distributed, or is that the deal?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, that's more complicated, a little bit, I think. And I'm gonna kind of... I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to hedge this one. There was a time, because I don't do quite as much of the elder law stuff as some people, but there was a time when you could establish through a trust, the trustee or a probate, if that's what it is, could establish a special needs trust or supplemental needs trust for the person who would lose their benefits, you know, if they didn't, and then distribute that money to the trust, and then that works that way. So it's a way of getting it done after the fact kind of thing. But if they gave the child the money, or the, you know, the 20-year-old the money already, then they could conceivably either have to pay it back if they haven't spent it, or you know, have a certain disqualifying period for the benefits.
Okay, so for that 20-year-old, would that be an in-cap or a income cap trust?
I think that would be it might be, but I think more likely it's going to be a supplemental needs type trust. Anyway, what I would do, there are a number of very fine lawyers in the area, and I don't know whichever area actually, but there are a lot of them that maybe somebody really close to you who you know, really specializes in the you know, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, trust kind of thing. And I've done some of them, but it's not my, you know, it's not my most part of my practice. But I have done them, but I would say, you know, and I could certainly, if you wanted to call my office, I could give you a bunch of names, and because I don't know where you are, and I could, you know, find you somebody close to wherever you are, and help you, direct you to the person that would want to be able to deal with that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You've been very helpful. Thank you.
You bet.
Well, bye-bye.
Thanks. We've got another caller on the line who's been waiting quite a while. Bob, thanks for waiting. Bob's got a question about distribution on a 401k.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering if when a person has to take required distribution, but they also want to convert part of the 401k, is it better to take the full amount of the required distribution and the amount you want to convert and then write a check to the custodian for the converted amount? Or is it better to take just the required distribution and then contact the custodian, have them roll over a portion of the 401k to an IRA and then convert it? Or if you're in your 70s, so you just say, why even bother with the conversion?
Well, are you talking about a conversion to a Roth?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, here's the thing, Bob. It depends on your taxes, on your tax bracket now and your tax bracket into the future. If you're going to have higher future income, then doing a Roth conversion makes a lot of sense. If you're not, it might not make a lot of sense. We'd have to work out the numbers. But here's the thing. Number one, Roth conversions do not satisfy the required minimum distribution. So what you have to do is take the required minimum distribution first, get that out of your 401k or your IRA. Now, remember, if you're still working and you have your 401k and you have your IRAs, you've got to take your RMD that accounts for all those monies together. So you have to take an RMD, and then after you do the RMD, then you can do the conversion. But you cannot do the conversion first, because that money you convert is going to be counted into your RMD. So you've got to do the RMD first. Then look at your tax situation, have somebody, you can call me or you could call Kevin, And we can tell you if it would make sense for you to convert to a Roth.
I expect to be in the same bracket now later as I am now.
And how's your longevity?
Well, I'm in my 70s. The family longevity is not all that great. So I'm thinking my my inheritance, my children, are in a higher tax bracket. So that would be the reason why my wife and I would convert to save them money later on.
Okay, that's a really, really sound way of looking at it, and that makes a lot of sense. And if that's the case, then I would definitely talk to somebody like myself or Kevin and calculate out so you can take the max you can without going to a higher tax bracket.
All right.
And do that. That makes sense.
Thank you very much.
Great. Good question, Bob. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back with Carl's comments and let him finish up. He's got a couple more points there that he hasn't got to yet. So you're listening to Investing Simplified on a Halloween weekend. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so that clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsenlaw.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, Carl, back to you.
Yeah, well, we were talking about 3 points. First one was driving privileges, and I think I kind of worked that one to hard enough. And the other one is kind of like it, in a sense. It's when do you try to make mom or dad move into a long-term facility? And I think we just started that, and basically the same thing applies. It's very difficult to force someone to do that. So you got to remember if you could do persuasion and things, and there are a lot of times you could do that. Eventually, my mom decided to do that just simply because she realized that what she was doing just wasn't working at all. So there's a lot of things that can come about doing that. And if they're sitting around and they once in a while leave the soup on the stove burning, or they've got a they leave the phone off the hook, or one of those kinds of things, and all of a sudden everybody is getting up in arms saying, oh, we got to get you moved out. Well, you got to remember that doesn't necessarily mean they're incompetent from making decisions for themselves. It just means they're normal. And so that brings me to that other part, which is, remember, if they're competent to write a will, guess what? You got to remember, it's not your money. So I would be cautious about that. Not that that's the only issue, but there are always safety issues and things. But by and large, I've heard most of the time the safety issues that I've heard are a little bit exaggerated. They've been portrayed for the benefit of the children, so that they will feel better about where mom or dad is, not necessarily whether or not they had the right to use where they want to be. And finally, this is a real, can be extraordinarily contentious, and that is when mom or dad, after many, many thousands of years, enters into a new relationship or even a marriage. And so I'm just going to offer some advice. First of all, a lot of times, a lot of times the children of mom or dad who's entering into this new relationship totally disparages and throws cold water and does everything they can at the new spouse or the new relationship. And, you know, boy, and I hate to say it, but a lot of times that's because they don't want dad to run out and fit change his will and cut them out. Well, I got news for you. If you take that approach, and it's very obvious, and unfortunately people will always think it's not obvious that that's what they're doing, but it's obvious. And it's obvious to everybody when the kids are doing that, that they're trying to protect their own inheritance rather than to protect dad. If they're doing that, remember one more time, it's not your money. And mom or dad may say, well, they just want my money. They don't care anything about me and my relationship. And, you know, even if it's just the worst relationship, but you can't do that. You might remember, you know, when your kids were teenagers, you couldn't very well tell them who to have girlfriends and boyfriends with, not with any ease of mind. So, you know, and so anyway, those are my three main areas: relationships, new relationships, long-term care facilities, and driving privileges. And that's Carl's comments.
Well, Carl, hang on. We got a couple of callers here, so we might be calling you right back. So hang on. Dave's got a question about IRA.
Hey, good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Dave.
My question is, I've got a traditional IRA, and I wanted to find out if there's any reason not to put just my kids on as beneficiaries, but also my grandkids.
Well, that is a really good question, because there is, if you have a very large IRA and you want to pass it down through the generations and allow them to stretch the IRA, there is a distinct advantage of putting sometimes grandkids on there. The one downside is if they're underage, if they're a minor, that can throw a little wrench in it, because somebody will have to supervise that until they get the funds. But you can actually name your children and your grandchildren on your IRA, and your children and grandchildren can both stretch that IRA out over their lifetime. And usually with children, that 3 to 4 times the value of the IRA, because they can draw it out over their lifetime, and the grandchildren are going to make that portfolio go up by 5 or 6 times.
Right. So there's, as far as the tax consequences or anything like that, do they have to take it out? I mean, is there a minimum distribution until they reach 70 and a half?
Well, that's correct. If you leave an IRA to one of your children or to one of your grandchildren, they receive that as a beneficiary IRA, and they will draw that out over their lifetime based on their life expectancy with yours.
Okay.
But they'll draw that out over their lifetime, and that's why I say your children will triple the benefit, and the grandchildren will 6 times the benefit.
Okay, sounds like a good deal, though.
Yeah, it's a great thing, because we have clients in our office that grandchildren are still receiving and will for the rest of their life money from their grandparents who passed away many, many years ago.
Okay, but somebody has to manage the amount, because they're only 5 years old and 8 years old. So
yeah, in that case, they would still get it, and they would have taxes. The problem is, whatever their parents' tax income is, they're going to have to pay income tax on that money as they receive it.
You know, another thing you might do with that is, instead of just naming the grandchild as the beneficiary, establish a living trust that has provisions that allow you to name the trust as a beneficiary, and then that can then stretch out the stuff for the kids too.
Yeah, you have to have the provision in the trust that they can stretch it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that way, I mean, then you have a built-in trustee. You've taken the step of already making sure that there's somebody who has the responsibility of distributing the money appropriately.
Okay. I got it.
Yeah, and what we recommend on that, Dave, to really help what we do with our clients is when the kids receive or the grandkids receive that money on a RMD, What we try to convince them to do is to take that money because they got to take it and pay taxes. And if they're old enough and have a job, we tell them to take that money and put it into a Roth IRA for themselves.
Right.
Now you've
got a Roth. I've got a Roth also that I'm going to give, you know, that like 12% or whatever to. And so I just wondered about the tax consequences of the traditional, if it was worth doing it or the hassle was worth it. I think the Roth is a good way, but I've got two IRAs, so Roth and traditional. So
you could do the exact same with both.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. I appreciate that. I'll definitely do that.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the call.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we've got another caller. Sandra's got a question about an IRA and a mortgage question. Sandra?
Yes.
Okay. Your question?
Thank you for taking the call. I'm 73, still working. I have pension. I have PERS. And I've got my mortgage down to $20,000 to pay off. And I'm hearing you talk about the stock market taking all of my investments. So should I just pay that mortgage off?
Well, it sounds like you're still working, so you're still paying a fair amount of income tax.
Well, I'm making $48,000 a year right now with the PERS and everything.
Okay, and what interest rate do you have on that mortgage?
3.25%.
Okay, do you have any savings in the bank?
No cash.
No cash. So all your money's tied up in retirement accounts.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I would say out of your, are you single?
Yes.
Okay. What I would do if I were you is I would set up, and I don't know what age you're going to retire, but I would set up and try to get that house paid off before I retired totally.
No, I'm retired.
You are fully retired. Okay. I thought you said you were still working.
I am still working.
Okay.
Trying to pay this mortgage.
Okay. Well, then if that's the case, I would take every dime that I could, and I would get that mortgage out of the way. Let me just give you a simple math here. How much is your mortgage payment?
$830 a month, but that's what I'm saying. Should I take that money out of my IRA and just pay it off?
Well,
even though I'll take a large tax with the market going down, will my investments die anyway?
Well, okay. If you have the money and you're in about a 40, I'm trying to, I didn't bring my tax book here to tell you the tax, I didn't have my tax schedule today, but I'd have to look at your taxes and I would draw out as much as I could without going to the next bracket. And I think at 48 on a single person, you're going to be right at about 12 federal and 8.5 Oregon. Are you in Oregon?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yep. So 8.5 Oregon, and you're going to be in about a 20% bracket. So
yeah, it'll put me up another bracket to do this if I take it, but maybe.
Well, I would do it over 2 years. We're at the end of the year right now. So do half of it this year and then half of it in January.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
and then you moved it to 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. You just broke it up into over 2 years.
So you think it's worth it going up into the next tax bracket to do this?
Well, I wouldn't go to the next tax bracket. I would go right up to it, take as much as you can, even if you've got to do it over 3 years. But you could for sure do it over 2 years. And you probably can get, you're going to be pretty darn close. I mean, in your tax bracket, you're going to be pretty darn close to staying below. You could easily pull out $10,000 and stay below that next higher number. So do pay off 10 this year and then pay off 10 in January and you got your mortgage paid off.
Thank you so much.
You
appreciate
bet.
It.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, one of the things for people out there listening, if you have a mortgage payment, like she said, and her payment's about $9,600, so say $10,000. Well, to have $10,000 of income at 5%, you have to have $200,000 of savings tied up to make that mortgage payment. Well, that is crazy when you only owe $20,000. Just pay it off and get it out of the way. We're going to take our last break and come back on this Halloween weekend and tell all the kids and parents out there to be safe this week. because there's going to be a lot of kids and a lot of goblins and ghosts and all kinds of creatures out there on the street. So be careful driving. We probably will have rain, so be careful. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Halloween is coming soon. Werewolves howl and run around.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question answered now. Call Chuck or Carl at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Chuck Price and Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we've got Carl Jepsen on the line and Chuck Price here in the office and studio. And if you've got a question, we've got about 8 minutes, and you can call in and ask a question. I got to tell you, we had some really good questions today, and we want to thank all you listeners who have called in and asked a question. I'd also like to ask a favor of all you listeners out there. You know, we're coming up again for the renewal here in the new year. And if you like our show, we would appreciate it that you call and let the radio station that you're listening to it on, let them know that you like our show and like to have it on longer. So let them know that this show is valuable to you, and we appreciate that. That's the only way we really know how many numbers of people we're reaching. I have people all the time that come in my office and say, hey, we've been listening to you for years on the radio and love your show. But we need to let the studio know that that you like the show. And we can tell them that, but they love to hear it from you folks. So if you let the station that you're listening to it on, let them know that you like the show, that would be appreciative because it's important. You know, I guess saying that, Carl, the phone lines lit up. So people are calling in. So we've got some callers.
Try to work fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate that. We, Carl and I have said for years, we love the calls because it gives us something to talk about instead of just jabbering, right?
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And so as soon as I see here our caller here on the line, we've got a couple. So, but anyway, we appreciate it if you do let your station know, and that would be very helpful for us, for sure. Let's see here, Michael. I do want to mention Kevin's not on the station today, but Kevin's out. And Kevin, you can contact Kevin. He's at Baker Colson PC at 2414 Northeast Division Street. Kstege at bakercolson.com. And his number is 503-666-5569. And it looks like we've got a caller, Mitchell. And just a second here. We'll see what the question is. Oh, excuse me. It's Cheryl has a question about a traditional Roth or IRA. Are you there, Cheryl?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Was in to see you a couple weeks ago, but we need to get a follow-up appointment, which we haven't arranged that yet. So,
okay.
But just real quick, I have with where I'm working now, I can sign up for an IRA, and my understanding is they'll put in 3%, and I could go either with a traditional or Roth. I've never had a Roth before, and I was just wondering if I, when I sign up, if it would be better to go that way for, you know.
Well, you know, absolutely. I think any time you have a qualified plan and they allow you to put the money in a Roth, just understand you're still putting it in with after-tax dollars. So they're taking all the taxes out, and then you're putting in the Roth. But having some Roth at retirement is a really great thing to have some tax-free money.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't ever had one before, so that's why I kind of wanted to check. It sounded good, but I just wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, I would actually have to sit down and go over your tax structure with you, and then I could tell you for sure. But if you have that advantage, and they'll put the 3% match they're probably going to put in, though, is probably going to – are they going to put the 3% also in the Roth for you?
Well, I think, but I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to find that out.
Yeah, well, that's one thing I'd double check. But either way, having the Roth makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah, tax-free money's going to be a really good thing when you retire.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Cheryl. Appreciate the call.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
You bet. Thanks. That's the thing. Having some retirement funds, but having it tax-free is a pretty nice thing when you retire. You know, Carl, one of the things we see, a lot of people, you know, the year end is coming. And this is the time where people start doing their planning for the next year. What, you know, businesses, we lay out our 2-year, 3-year, 5-year plan, depending on your business, what you're doing. Most of us in our personal lives, during the last part of the year, you try to get caught up. You're trying to plan the holidays, but then you're looking for the next year, maybe where you're going to vacation. I know I've already booked all my travel time for next year that I'm going to be doing. And you kind of try to do that as far ahead as you can. But I want to say that at this time of the year, you know, when the holidays are up, we have Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas, this is a great time, if you haven't done it, to sit down and get your house in order. Get your wills done. Get your living trust done. Get everything in order, because it's really hard for somebody else to do it for you if you didn't do it yourself.
Well, that's absolutely right, Chuck. And, you know, the other thing is, we in our business, I'm amazed at how many times I have people call, and I've been running out to hospitals and nursing homes and trying to get something on paper. When, you know, because person has gotten really, really ill and they think that they're going to pass away. And that's not the best time to do that. I mean, I've done it just because I've had to, but it creates some real serious problems. And it's just better to take the time when you're, you know, at least reasonably healthy and make those kinds of plans. That way you'll save your heirs and your children and everybody a whole lot of, saving quite a bit of money usually, and also, but more importantly, it'll save them a lot of trouble, and it will give them a map that will help them, you know, do what you want them to do rather than have them try to figure that out for themselves.
Well, it'll save them a lot of heartache and anxiety as well.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that we highly recommend. Hey, Carl, how's somebody get a hold of you?
My telephone number is 971-229-0585. And I'm at carljepsonlaw.com.
Okay. And I can be reached at pfgwm.com at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, in the Price Finance Group building. And we're available from 8:30 till 5, Monday through Friday. Although usually Friday we shut the doors down at about 1 o'clock and let our staff go home early if we can. If not, that doesn't mean you can't schedule an appointment then. We do. And we work, like Carl does as well, we work on appointment basis, so that if you call, schedule an appointment, our staffs will schedule an appointment for you. In fact, I have numerous clients coming in to see me that I try to schedule my appointments with them so they can come. In fact, I got some here in the next 2 weeks. They're coming to see me, and then they're going to go see Carl and take care of their investment stuff and then take care of their estate plan. And it makes it real nice and convenient that we can do that. But the key thing is to do the planning. If you don't plan to succeed, you plan to fail. And suddenly So we're going to go out with a holiday song, The Monster Mash, and wish all of you a very happy Halloween and a safe Halloween. And be careful out there on the roads when the kids are out there in their little outfits. And everybody be safe. God bless you all and have a great week. Next week, we'll have a full house. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you on Investment Simplified next Saturday.
It can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.